Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I want to welcome you here. I'm Pastor Bill Shear. I'm the founding and senior pastor of Pound for Pound, the greatest group of people I have ever seen. There's prettier, probably trendier, although I'm bringing the cargo pants back out. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Salesperson sold me these. They said, "Hey, Pastor, you need some cargo pants." I said, "All right." I'm not so sure right now. I don't think I've ever talked about my britches before. What was I talking about? What are you doing? What? Hey, my daughter Kennedy's here. You want to say hi? 24 years ago, I was like, what? And then now here she is on the front row, serving God, making a difference. I don't know what I was talking about. It was immaterial. Let's get to the message, because some of you guys are here, and the gravity of things is there's some urgency in your life. It's like, God, I need you, and I need you now. But I'll just tell you this, and it all starts with there's something about the name of Jesus. There really is. You know, it's interesting, and I said this at 9:30, and I didn't get I talked to Sandy afterwards. I didn't get in trouble, so I can repeat it. But before I was a Christian, I was a sinner, and a really good sinner, and knew nothing about God, didn't care anything about God. Church was kind of sickening to me. It was pitiful, because it's like, are you kidding me? And it's kind of my attitude toward church. It was 40 years ago. But I could never even use the Lord's name in vain. I couldn't say Jesus Christ when I was mad. You know, I couldn't do it. I don't know. And matter of fact, not use the Lord's name. I would say, gosh damn it. And not even think, you know, like I guarantee you people would, I'd be at a bar somewhere and I'd say that, and people would think, what are you, like 8 years old or what? But I couldn't do it. So for me to get up and tell you 40 years later now that there's something about the name of Jesus, because there really is. The name of Jesus. I mean, it's everything that, everything you have need of, that what Jesus said, look, in my name, you'll cast out devils. You understand just that one statement alone, if he just dropped it right then, that gives us an extreme advantage in life. I mean, do you understand that it's interesting. It parallels the OU Baylor game last night. At halftime, I think OU was down like 25 points or something. And Sandy walked through the family room, and I was watching the game, me and my dog. And he watches television. He waits because there's a lot of commercials with dogs in it. And he's watching intently, and he goes after the TV every time a dog comes on the TV. So I tried to stop it, but somehow it's in his nature or something. So now I just get a kick out of it. But I'm watching the game, and she saw the score. She goes, "Oh my gosh, they're getting killed!" And went back into our bedroom and like turned on a Hallmark movie. And I don't even know what to say. I really don't. I tried yesterday. I walked back in the bedroom and I said, look, because you know, it's good for a man to try to be involved like in his wife's life. You know, I mean, it usually gets me in trouble. I'm usually corrected at that point. Jeremy probably knows what I'm talking about. But I walked in, I said, so this movie, what's going on? She goes, well, you know, if things don't work out, they're going to lose the farm. And I'm like, all right, there you go. So I went back and watched the ball game. But you know, when she said that, you know, I told her, I said, let me tell you something. OU's going to win. Because, listen, we look at life so much and we think about those kind of things that it's a comeback. But, you know, we don't have comebacks in our life. We're Christians. That we're so far out in front that the tangible things, the things that are going to change, we deem them to be permanent. But the only thing that's permanent are the things we can't see. And that's why we speak to situations, and they have to submit to the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. If you touch any deadly thing, it won't harm you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You know, you just look at that just alone, those four things. It's like mind-blowing, the advantage that it gives us. You know, because this name of Jesus, do you understand? He's healing and he's recovery and he's deliverance and he's prosperity and he's peace and he's victory. Just at the name of Jesus. Do you want, how many of you guys want victory in your life? You've got to keep the name of Jesus on the tip of your tongue. And honestly, probably like you did before you're a Christian and use his name in vain. You know, that derogatorily, that the name of Jesus, that everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. Today we want you to connect with him and have a sense of destiny today. Because your words today, see, our words are seed. See, the word that I'm giving you today, that God's delivering you today, is seed. When I say prosperity, it doesn't come in like a bank full of money. It doesn't come as a check, even a check in the mail. Man, it comes as seed. It comes with building your belief system. The Bible says, so be it as of unto your faith. So be it as of unto what you trust. Some trust in riches, some in horses, but we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. See, we go through life and we always feel like we're under-equipped to battle. You know why that is? Because we always, a lot of the time, I want to say always, did you feel me on that? We take a defensive posture. You get a diagnosis of illness, a symptom hits your body, you go, okay, I got to get on the defensive. I got to fight this off. No, every promise in God's word puts us on the offense. Man, I promise you, at halftime of the OU game in the locker room, and I've been in 1,000 of those locker rooms, man, all there was victory. All there was let's go. They're kicking off to us. You know, all we got to do is score 3 or 4 times and not let them score, and we beat them. You know, and you'll say, well, but man, it's not that easy. No, you know, understand it is. You know, Ryan Bush is a part of this church, been here for almost 20 years. He's the head coach at ORU Soccer, played one of the top teams in the country, beat them 1-0. And so he texted me, he said, hey, we won 1-0. I'm like, man, congratulations. Man, it put them in the top 20 in the country, teams in the country. And I said, man, tell me about the game, man. 1-0, was that a good game? He said, they didn't have a shot on goal. And I don't know soccer that much. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I'm thinking, I think that's really good. I think you've got a really good chance to win if the other team doesn't take one shot. Do you understand that that's how our lives are spiritually? The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Just him pointing a weapon at us causes us to cower and retreat and think, oh, we need a comeback. When guess what? There is nothing in that chamber. The Bible says this, and it's very clear. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. But it's like, well, that's not been the history of my life. Well, get on board then. It's all relative to how we think. See, that the devil's not attacking your body. The devil's not attacking your finances. The devil's attacking your mind. This is where he fights, right here. The way a man thinks, so he is. I promise you, OU didn't look at that game like a comeback. They were like, no, you know what? We're just going to go play the second half and beat these guys. And that's all they did. And that's what our life is. See, the timing of God doesn't look like this right here. The timing of God doesn't have a date. If it did, we'd know the day and the hour that Jesus was coming back. But it doesn't. It's all triggered. The Bible says this, so be it as of unto your trust, so be it as of unto your faith. Because God didn't save us for potential. And I think that's what a lot of people talking about God's timing and the sovereignty of God. Let me tell you, the sovereign will of God is for you to be transformed into the image of his son. It's not a car wreck. It's not a raise at your job. It's not a broken ankle. No, it's a transformation of how we think. transformation of what we truly believe. See, I don't believe what I see. I believe what God's promised. And that's it. And that keeps me on the offensive. It takes me planning and aiming at new ground, at new people groups. Man, I can't stand passivity. I can't say when we're stagnant and we're just revving our engines. Because there's a certain horsepower that a church needs, but then there's also a torque. And both those matter. And see, let me tell you, God's put both in us. See, and the idea of this, if we start off right, where the Bible in Psalm 100 says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. See, I believe that every negative thought we have is from the devil. I believe every positive thought we have, every optimistic attitude we have is from God. We have to be, Christians should be the most optimistic people in the world. And they'll say, yeah, but I'm in a battle. The Bible says everything you put your hand to prospers. All you have to do is put your hand to it. God's going to back your play. The Bible says everywhere the sole of your foot lands, you possess it. It doesn't say you own it. It says you possess it. See, the idea of this is aggressive. There's no passivity in this. Man, we can't be, otherwise we're never equipped. We don't know enough. You know, here's Moses. You know what God spoke to Moses in Exodus 4:12? Go. Go, let's go. And he said, well, they're not going to listen to me. And man, the Pharaoh's not going to just comply with me. And the people aren't going to listen to me. And who am I? And God just finally threw down with Moses and said, go, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. But it doesn't say, hey, I'm going to be with your mouth. I'll teach you what you say, and then you're going to go. No, my confidence isn't in my linguistics. My confidence isn't in my vocabulary. My confidence isn't in my public speaking. My confidence isn't in my voice inflection. My confidence is in him. And let me tell you, and what Nita said so incredibly Wednesday night, it's in him alone. That's it. Man, I mean, my goodness, the need in this room right now, the need in Sepulpa and Skytook, how does that work? That we're streaming, and those guys right now are cheering when I say Sepulpa and cheering when I say Skytook. And we're like, well, the context, no, let me just help you. It's because that word is so powerful. This is how God does things. He uses people that speak his word. And listen, in season and out of season. Josh, you've learned that. When you feel like it, when you feel like that the situation's relevant, man, the word is always relevant. Write that down. The word, God's promise, is always relevant. And let me tell you, your situation and your circumstances and those negative details are not relevant. They're not. See, and we've got to understand that because the Bible says, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. They're everlasting. That's all God is merciful toward his children. Do you know, God doesn't remember your sin. Do you understand? God doesn't make account of your record. Well, you know, I've got a track record. God said, what are you talking about? Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ. That one word, I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. I said the sinner's prayer, I was hung over, and then that pastor got my attention, and he proclaimed that word, and that word, I'm telling you, like a sword pierced my heart. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the next verse says, now all things are of God. And you're like, oh my gosh, how can all things be of God? But why? Because the frame of our lives now that are framed on God's word, the way we think and the way we see things, so the way we speak and the way we act and the habits of our life, see, the thought habits of our life now, it's good and not evil, giving me a future and a hope. The thought habits of my life now, you know, I can look at those things and know that I serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were and gives life to the dead. Everybody say this, my God.
My God.
Try it again. My God
gives life to the dead.
Man, you speak to your finances, you speak to your health, you speak to your marriage, you speak to your relationships, you speak to your livelihood. Man, that job, that paycheck is not your source. God's your source. And we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, we look at people as good and bad, and it's just decisions. And the decisions become relevant in our life in where they're made. Are they made in the dark? Are they made in the light? Make your decisions, write this down, make your decisions in the light. That's why there's safety in a multitude of counsel. There's not direction. Man, the word's going to direct you. The word will make it easy. Because the word's relevant. God, listen, the Bible says God's our ever-present help in time of need. God's present. He's ever-present. And see, we've got to look at that. I know some of you have come with tremendous sense of urgency today. And I'm grateful that you're here. Because I believe that urgency in you is going to draw on the gifting that God's placed in my life. And the words that I speak to you are going to be relevant. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to pierce. They're going to divide your soul and your spirit. Man, and you're going to fall to that spirit side. You're not going to fall the way that you've always thought. That it lays hold of the soul of man. And see, and that's what it is. When we come with a sense of urgency, the Spirit of God rises up and delivers to us, listen, life and peace. Life and peace. And peace is synonymous with prosperity. Prosperity has nothing to do with money. Prosperity has everything to do with peace. The Bible says peace beyond your understanding. That guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You want to guard your heart? You want to guard your mind? Man, you live in the prosperity that God's given you. You live in the peace that God's given you. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not determined by the circumstances or situation of your life. I give you a peace that's at this level, and the circumstances and situation of your life are at this level. Man, Jesus in John 15, the first verse said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. We've got to know the order. He said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. That puts everything in perspective. We're hooked up with Jesus. Now God begins to dress us. He keeps us healthy. He keeps us strong. He keeps us in a path of fruitfulness. Every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. See, a lot of times we go through things and we're thinking, well, he did this, or she did this, or the situation warranted this, or, and when it's got, when it's, it may very well just be God pruning you. He said, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. See, that's what we have to understand about being at church. When we sit under the spoken word, it cleanses our soul. It brings a cleansing to us. Jesus said in verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, our faithfulness is attached to our fruitfulness. They're synonymous. Your faithfulness isn't determined by your you're here. You made an appearance, that you're even participating. It's that you're fruitful. See, what is the first command that God gave Adam? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Don't just add to the equation, multiply it. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you could do nothing. And that's what most of our life is, the decisions we make in the dark. The arm of the flesh that we operate in. Let me tell you something. I could give a doctoral thesis on applying the arm of the flesh to our duties with God. No, God, I got this. Let me handle it. Oh, God, I know your word. I don't need to. No, you know what? I need God and Him alone. When we look at life, too often we look at things as good and bad. When it's not good and bad people, it's just good and bad decisions. And let me help you with this too. God's not about good and bad. God's not even about good. God is about, by His Spirit, is about supernatural, about extraordinary, about the best. Man, what if today that you took a step toward your best life? What's your best life? Because see, here's how life works for me. See, what the world's saying is, what do you want? Take aim at what you want. Man, find something that you love and go do it. The world will tell you that. God doesn't tell you that. God starts with your aim. God starts with a target, your aim. And then it goes to your actions. And then you get to live out your desires. See, too much, I think that there's a mindset, especially in America, that, man, figure out your desires and then take aim of it and let your actions follow it. And let me tell you, your aim starts first. Jesus said, look, you abide in me and I in you. Jesus said, he said this in another passage where the same context, you abide in me, you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. See, the idea of this, that we look at good and bad and not best. When it's not God's best, we have to learn that's compromise. We're a sellout for what's good instead of for the best. Because I'll tell you what, I believe the curse of the enemy can still overlap just good enough. I believe when the best becomes our mark, the best becomes our aim, the best becomes our target, that curse is left in our dust. See, you're gonna live out, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to this 14-year-old kid this last week, and I knew his grandfather, I know his dad. I said, so is your dad like your grandfather? He goes, oh, they're the same. I said, you understand that's what you're gonna be. And he just kind of looked at me, and then he thought for a couple seconds, and he said, yeah, you're probably right. I said, so you know what? Take the best from them and be that. Leave everything else out. See, you understand you have a choice, no matter who your daddy was or what he was about. And I get that we, as our, the carnal side of us, the worldly side of us, we're affected by what our dad did and what he said and the issues. But you know what? And what God gives us, see, that's why the Bible talks about father leadership. There's a lot of leaders out there, even in the body of Christ. There's a lot of good leaders. But you know, they're huddle leaders and they're team leaders. They're not father leaders. See, what I've learned in pastoring this church for 27 years and being in ministry for over 30 years is that people need a father leader. And it's very difficult to be that. It's impossible to be that in your early 20s and 30s. But then as life progresses and you see things more clearly and things elevate. Because see, the elevation, I understand that in leadership, my life has to elevate because there's people, and it's not just Taylor, Brooklyn, and Kennedy, but people build off of our shoulders. Man, Scott and Vanessa's kids are building their life. They start at this level. They don't start at a ground level. They start at this level and begin to build. Man, what Kennedy sees in ministry right now is such a greater vantage point than what I see because she's seeing it from standing on my shoulders. And that's what all your kids are gonna do, and that's what generations of ministry do. See, that's why it's so important for a church to stay on track and stay in their path and stay in their lane, because generations happen, and that's how elevation happens, because things happen from generational shoulders. See, that's why there needs to be generational leadership in the church. Man, I think too much now in the church that guys do it as long as I've done it, And it's and the idea is, well, when's there going to be a transition? When are we going to kick you to the curb? And I don't want to, we don't want to kick that wisdom to the curb. There's a lot of things about pastoring a church and leading a church that I've figured out in the last few years that are going to be powerful for people. See, we have to understand that. What if the struggles that we're having, the struggles you have in life, the struggles you have in your marriage and your business and your livelihood, what if it's because you're settling for good? Because I think it's a big issue in life today. You're settling for good instead of taking aim at something great. I still do. I still take aim. And let me just tell you, in our culture today, in our society today, great's crazy. It really is. But Jesus said, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, God takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, now listen to this, he prunes. See, somehow we need revelation of the pruning of God in our lives. Because that's how we bear more fruit. See, that's why I believe we have the laws that of the natural laws that what we have is it's not good enough for what we're looking for. What we've experienced back here isn't good enough for what we're looking for here. And it's called the law of diminishing returns. I believe God put that in us. I believe the same way there's quantum physics, there's quantum faith. How things work in a quantum sense naturally, there's a quantum supernatural. See, that's where God wants us to go. That's why I'm bringing a prophetic ministry in December 1st and 2nd. It's going to be a whole new level of supernatural that I believe God's going to show off on your behalf. Miracles. You know, it's interesting. There's people a lot smarter than me and people probably that are standing on my shoulders that are seeing, that know how to communicate. Because, you know, on the average, 25% of the church shows up every weekend. Well, that weekend, it's not those numbers don't, I don't think it's one of those that, hey, I'll get the tape. Hey, I'll listen to the podcast. I think there's something about the presence, the ever-present help in time of need. And it's interesting, too, that I've resisted. There's been a lot of prophetic ministries that have asked to come into our church over the years. And really the only one that really suited me was Dick Mills. And his family's still involved in our church. But this is like that for me. And Dick went to be with the Lord, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, and I miss him all the time. Because it was just handy having a word of the Lord, just dialing 10 numbers in a phone and being able to access that office. Well, I believe that's what God's giving us now. I think about our internship. And we've done it for so many years that I think everybody in here knows the appeal that, man, we're trying. But I'll just tell you how God has directed me in my heart is we just want you to be at your best. We want you to get to the best. That's what the internship is designed to do. So that mark's a little different for every participant, but it's going to strain you. It's going to be a sacrifice. I believe that's how we get to our best, is when we're strained and we make a sacrifice. I know it is for me. I believe the presence of the Lord is here today. Don't miss out on it. Truly don't. Everything you have need of, Listen, it's either in your hand or your house or your field. It's not that far from you. Here's what the Bible says, and I believe this to be a word of the Lord for you. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And what I believe, that's healing. And I believe that's resources. I believe that's new business. I believe it's new people groups. I believe it's new campuses. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. And He brings heaven with Him. See, that's what the devil does. The devil tries to come into our life and bring all of hell with him. And you know what God does? He brings all of heaven. I want heaven.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.